Welcome to Fanboy News Network, your guide to geek culture. I'm your host, Jeff Harris. And today we're doing another special episode. For those of you who can hear a little difference in the background noise, once again, I'm not in my usual studio. I am in the house of my sister, Jillian Venters, who many of you may know from her website, Gothic Charm School, or her book, also entitled Gothic Charm School, with the subtitle of
An Essential Guide for Goths and Those Who Love Them.
Because she doesn't actually trust me to ever get it right.
Nope.
And rightly so. So, today, I'm here with Jillian because we're going to discuss an interesting corner of fandom that we both participate in, but doesn't get talked about as fandom very much. And that is Disneyland as fandom.
I want to go to Disneyland!
You just went to Disneyland.
Don't care. Want to go back.
And this actually is what inspired this episode, is Jillian just came back from Bats Day. And so we're going to talk about like special days and the kind of events that can occur at Disneyland. But to start with, well, first off, you and I have been to Disneyland a lot.
Yes, but we've only been together once.
Once, which is really strange.
We've never been able to get schedules to work out.
One time, and we will tell stories of that later in the episode because the two of us at Disneyland together was quite the adventure. But I think the first thing to talk about is the idea of how Disneyland relates with us in a pop culture level and those of us that attend it as an event rather than just a vacation.
See, the thing is, I don't know where the difference is in for people like us who attend Disneyland as an event and for people who attend it as a vacation, because in my mind, there's not a lot of separation. I mean, yes, for a lot of people, it's we're going to go to Disneyland because that's a thing you do, especially if you have a family, you know, take the kids to Disneyland. It's a time-honored tradition. And I guess for those of us who don't have kids or who go to it more for an event, it's a case of we are going because we are Disney geeks. But that delineation is awfully fuzzy to me.
And I can see that. I suppose it depends on how you look at it. We're going to get the entire family together and we're going to have the scheduled events versus, okay, we're going to Disneyland and we're researching all the things and looking for all the cool events we can do there.
Along with the idea of it's not a case of having to do all the things at Disneyland. Because when I go to Disneyland, I know there are specific things I want to hit, but then if I don't do other things in the park or see other shows, that's fine. I don't feel compelled that I have to do the Disney Death March, where I go to every single thing and stand in line for every single ride.
And that may be part of it right there. And that might be part of it there. When we go to Disneyland, there's, in my mind at least, and I think in yours as well, the idea of, I'm here at this trip I'm going to do these things. Next time, I'll do these things. For us, it's definitely, there will be a next time.
Yes. Budget willing, there will be a next time. And maybe next time I will finally go on Tower of Terror and uphold the family honor or something.
We'll get into that in a little bit. I've been to Disneyland. I don't even have a count of the number of times I've been to Disneyland. I've been there a lot, and I always have this feeling, and I think it's true of any vacation, the nature of the trip changes based on who you're with.
Yes.
I've been there with people where we were in California for other reasons, and we decided to take a day trip. I was there with people in a group where we had, okay, we're going to do this vacation together, and that includes the time we went together.
Right.
I have done it once solo.
Which is a very different experience.
It really is. And then I've done it once with a girlfriend. And then the most recent time I went as my honeymoon.
Right.
With my wife, Larissa. And obviously there's going to be differences based on the people you're with are going to have different paces they want to go at.
Yeah, most of my trips have been, we are in California for something else and we are doing a day trip to Disneyland because it's kind of understood by Pete, my husband, that if we are going to be in California for something, he'd better have a really good reason as to why we aren't going to Disneyland because I love Disney. It's one of my favorite destinations. I've done one deliberate, you know, call it family trip, where the whole point of the trip is we are going to Disneyland. And then this last trip, I was there with friends, but in many ways it was a solo trip because I was meeting up with people on different days for different things. But on the whole, I was roaming through the park on my own. And that was a very, very different experience.
And I think these are definitely things we want to talk about.
Yes.
In this, about what those experiences are. But let's start with, for us, as two adults that neither of us have children, What draws us to the park? Why do we keep going? Because I always get this when I go. Why are you going to Disneyland? You don't have kids.
Because Disneyland isn't necessarily about children. Yes, it is geared to be a family entertainment spot. There's a lot of things aimed at children. But it's also that wonderful self-contained universe where, you know, their tagline is the happiest place on earth. And in many ways, it can be because it's life idealized. You know, everything is clean. There's no litter. There's no grime. All of the cast members are friendly. Yes, it is their job. But even so, being around people who part of their entire day is to make people feel happy and friendly is a huge psychic weight lifted. And also, there's the, if you are going to Disneyland, you are there to have fun. You are there to have a very specific kind of sense of wonder and entertainment and letting go of the cares of the day and day-to-day life and the world, where even if you go to other places, like, you know, the adult Disneyland, if you go to Las Vegas, it's a very different unreality to the Disney parks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because Las Vegas is one of my other favorite vacation spots.
Exactly.
And it is the same way. I do look at it as I'm trying to get away from the day-to-day. I'm trying to get away from the world I normally inhabit. I want to go to some place where I can leave that behind.
Yes.
And have a different experience. Now, for me with Disneyland, I mean, you hit a lot of the points, but I always think of it as I'm going to Disneyland with this open mind and open heart to experience the wonder, to look at it with the eyes of a child.
Yes.
Even though I'm a grown man and I'm, you know, work a serious job and all those things. In fact, for me, and we're definitely going to talk about traditions in the park for people like us that go multiple times. And I was really insistent on the honeymoon with Larissa. We went and I said, okay, we have to make sure the first day we go through the main gate and we have to enter the park on the left archway.
Why the left archway?
I've always enjoyed the left archway for two reasons. One, for some reason, the placard over that one, I always need to look at the placard.
You know, okay.
You're entering the land.
Right.
That's important to me. But something about the left archway, I like how there's, you're coming in where there's Town Hall, and you're getting a very slow reveal of Main Street. It feels like a transition from the mundane world into the Disney world, where you're seeing things that you could still see outside, a town hall, a fire station, a street, a general store, but you're already beginning to get the feel of that Disney magic. And so for me, that particular entry, and the left side, it's just always, it's the way I went the first time.
Okay.
And, but I have gone in the other one, not always, not on a first time, but I do go in the other one, and the reveal just doesn't feel the same to me.
Now that I think about it, you're right, because I was primarily going through the right-hand gate this last trip, but I did go through the left a couple times, and you're right, it is a very different reveal, it is a very different feel of entering the park, even though it's, you know, just two sides of the same entryway. But you're right, it is a very different sensation. Yeah. I hadn't even stopped to think about that.
Yeah, well, and that's... I don't remember when that became my tradition. It was after the trip you and I took together.
Okay.
But, in fact, it was the trip I took after that, which was the solo trip.
Okay.
I started doing that, and that hit me as, okay, this is my way of entering the park now. And one of the things I love about the design of Disneyland is Main Street.
Yes.
And you get that it still feels a little familiar.
Yes.
But you are immediately getting the sense of a lightly enhanced reality.
Yes.
With the forced perspective of the upper floors and the old-fashioned signs.
And the old-fashioned design storefronts. one of the stores on Disney Main Street, one of the fashion emporiums, so they all sell fashion, they all sell clothes, but one of them has the front windows like an old general store with the different shoes and bonnets and hats, and every time I walk past it, I stop and go, no, I want those shoes. I don't want to go in and find Disney sneakers. I want those shoes. And, you know, my little hopes get dashed, and then I go in and buy Haunted Mansion merchandise, and all is well again.
You've reminded me of something I want to touch upon later, which is the hidden Easter eggs of Disneyland. So
yes.
Keep that in mind.
Yes.
I'm being reminded about a lot. This is a very disjointed...
This is my job as your sister.
Yes, it is. So, yeah, that's my first tradition, and that's how I enter the world. And then you get to the hub.
Yes.
And again, you have... I think people have traditions, how they deal with after you're at the hub, where you're going to go. I have what I normally do, which I didn't follow this last time because it was my honeymoon, and I was trying to make this an experience for my wife, mm-hmm. and so I let her choose.
Okay.
But for myself, I would usually, keeping with the going left and then clockwise, mm-hmm. I usually start in Adventureland. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, for me, my first ride is the Jungle Cruise. I know, it's very strange, but it's, again, it's this weird traditions I've personally built up.
No, I understand. Go on. Guess what my first ride at Disneyland is.
Everyone who's ever heard of you knows what your first ride at Disneyland is. How many times did you go on the Haunted Mansion this last time?
I went on the Haunted Mansion 15 times trip. So when Microsoft Kinect released the Disney game, the Disneyland game, I was over at a friend's house and they had me try it. And of course, that whole game is set up to be Disneyland. And you walk through the park and you interact with the characters and their little quests and things like that. And everyone in the room, including my husband, was very amused by the fact that as soon as they gave me the controller and I started playing the game, I just blew through Main Street. I bombed straight through Adventureland. Everyone's like, but you just passed. I'm like, I don't care who I passed. I'm heading straight to the Haunted Mansion. And because I am infamous for having no sense of direction, my husband was all, you're going to get lost. I'm all, no, I'm not. You just go left and you keep walking and there's New Orleans Square and there is my home. And he was like, okay, that says an awful lot about you.
Yes, it does.
That's still the only part of the game I've ever seen, actually.
Actually, doesn't surprise me either. But you're now touching on something else that's interesting to me about Disneyland. So we've so far been talking about the park overall as a fandom. But within the park, with all the different attractions that are iconic,
yes,
there are essentially sub-fandoms.
Yes. So there's this thing, and it's come up, I think, in the past couple of years, where it's the Disneyland social clubs, where there are these people who live in Southern California who kind of form social clubs where they induct new members. You actually have to go through an application process, and you can spot them because they'll be walking around in denim vests, like biker vests, with very specific patches on the back that denote which area of the park is their turf, quote unquote. And they're not mean-spirited, they're not gangs, they are there to express their love for the park and those specific attractions, and they do help people, you know, they give advice about stuff, or they'll answer questions to people, but they're regular park-goers who are fans. And I know that there's one for the Star Wars section, there's the Sons of Anakin, there's a specific Main Street group, there's a Fantasyland one, there are the 999ers, which are the Haunted Mansion ones, which I met because I saw them walking around with these great Haunted Mansion patches on the back of their vests. And I was immediately, where do I get that? That's an amazing piece of merchandise. I would love to get one of those to put on the back of one of my blazers. And that's when they said, well, no, it's a club and you only get one when you become a member. And I'm like, oh, so I live in Seattle and I can't do this. Well, drat. But it was fascinating to see, you know, these are people who specifically stake out specific parts of the park. There's one for the train.
That doesn't surprise me at all. It sounds weird overall to maybe other people aren't as familiar with the park, but for me, somebody being fans of that train isn't surprising.
No, I totally get that. It's just, to me, the train is still very weird. Because then you go through the Grand Canyon and then the dinosaurs battle, and...
Actually, side note, little tangent. I was at a Christmas party a couple of years ago, and I met a woman who used to be one of the diesel engineers at Disneyland.
Oh, nice!
And she told me stories of shenanigans they would have, because those are literally diesel trains.
Yes, and I know someone who is one of the train drivers. I know someone who is a waiter at Club 33.
You know?
Yes, I'm going to rub in the fact that I have been to Club 33 and you have not. Ha ha ha.
One of these days I'm going to find a way to rectify that.
I know.
Somehow. Because that's sort of, you're talking about the fandom of Disneyland, the sub-fandoms. That's one of the legends of Disneyland. That this one is true. You know, the club in the middle of Disneyland that's exclusive, and you have to be a member or a guest of a member to get in.
Yes, it's a private restaurant, and it's set up in what the original boardroom offices were, beautifully decorated. You can go in and see the original boardroom and the table, and it's this wonderful decadent buffet, but you do have to be a member or know a member to be able to get in there. And right now, Club 33 is closed, and they're renovating it. But it's just one of those weird secret experiences where there is a space in New Orleans Square where you have to go and press the correct doorbell, and then someone comes down and escorts you up, and you get to take the magical elevator up. And it's just it's an amazing experience. And then costumed characters come through. So when we went, I got to meet Mickey Mouse.
Now, and this was just, so people know, this was, you were on your book tour, you were working on your book.
Yes, that's when I was on the book tour for Gothic Charm School. We were doing the stops in California and L.A., and because friends of mine live down there and are massive Disney fans, they were like, okay, we're going to go to Disneyland on this day, don't make any plans, and then we go meet up with them, and they're like, and we're going to Club 33, at which point, you know, I kind of shrieked and made noises only dogs could hear, and then, you know, we went into the park. But it was one of those things that made that trip even more magical.
Right. Speaking of Easter eggs in the park.
Yes.
20 years ago, because that's how long ago when you and I went together.
It was not. Okay, the passage of time weirds me out.
As it may. Actually, I think it was 19. I think we went in 95.
Yeah, I think so.
Because you were already with Pete at the time, but we were all still working for Wizards of the Coast. So, I think it was 95 we went. But for that particular trip, I did so much research.
You did.
Going in, I knew where every Easter egg in the park was, and most of them are still there.
Yes.
And I mentioned the store on Main Street.
Right.
And it has a old-fashioned telephone that if you pick it up, you hear a recording of essentially a party line.
Yes.
Or my favorite of these is still the Golden Apple outside the Snow White ride.
Yes.
Because if you grab that apple, it's a touch-sensitive apparatus that it cycles through different sound effects.
Yes.
And so, and we probably spent 3 or 4 minutes sitting
there.
Doesn't
that also trigger the Evil Queen coming to the window?
She's actually an independent thing.
Oh, okay.
She just works on it's a randomized interval.
Okay.
But yeah, most people don't look up, but if you do look up at the Snow White ride, there's a window and periodically it'll open up and the Evil Queen is standing there looking down at the crowd.
Yes. And, of course, looking for the hidden Mickeys, the Mickey Mouse heads scattered through everything, which even in the Haunted Mansion, when you go through the Haunted Mansion and you see the ball, the big ballroom and the dancing ghosts, the table that's laid out below with all the place settings for the dinner, there are plates that are set up to make Mickey Mouse heads.
Yeah, and for people who aren't familiar, in case you don't happen to know what this is, a hidden Mickey is a large circle with two smaller circles on top to form the silhouette of Mickey. And they are throughout the park. Basically anything where you have three circles in that basic pattern counts as a hidden Mickey.
Yes.
And I like to try and find them, but I'm not the best at it. My wife, on the other hand, has excellent pattern recognition skills and was picking them left and right. The best hidden Mickey we found was actually in California Adventure.
Okay.
At the restaurant attached to Soarin', California. The one next to that, there was a fire alarm, and it had a bell and two lights.
Oh, nice.
On the top, and it was in a hidden Mickey pattern. It was a very subtle, the fact they took a practical object.
Right.
And made it a hidden Mickey was just incredibly clever. The other one I remember, speaking of the Haunted Mansion, is when I was there and they were doing the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay, was there was a snow pattern in the ballroom scene that was also a hidden Mickey.
Yes. And when they do the Nightmare Before Christmas overlay on the Haunted Mansion every year, they pipe in the smell of gingerbread in that one room. When you go down the slide to the graveyard, that's when they drop the temperature a little bit and there's the smell of snow. The overlay they do is fantastic, and they change it up every year. Each year is a little bit different, which makes me sad that I can't go every year, but then I'm generally sad that I can't go to Disneyland, you know, whenever I want at a moment's whim.
Yeah. Actually, since we're speaking of Easter eggs in the Haunted Mansion, I'm about to test you.
Okay.
What's the interesting hiccup with the dancers in the ballroom?
They don't continue in the ballroom pattern? They keep rotating back?
No.
Okay.
When the Imagineers set up the animatronics, mm-hmm. which are actually under the ride,
because right.
it's a mirror effect.
Yeah, it's a Pepper's Ghost effect.
They set up the dancers properly as if you were looking at them straight on.
Right.
So, but looking at the mirror image, it looks like the women are leading.
Right.
And they decided to leave it because they realized, A, it wasn't a big enough mistake to warrant fixing, and B, it's just that slight off.
Right.
To make people go, something's not quite
right.
what it should be.
Right. I just always look for the spider that covers up the bullet hole in the glass.
Yes.
Which, me looking for a spider is kind of ridiculous, but it doesn't look realistic, so I'm fine.
I think the other place, again, for Easter eggs, or just, it's insane, is Toontown.
Oh, Toontown. I didn't go to Toontown at all on this last
really?
Trip. The park was so crowded that trying to get across to Toontown was just kind of ridiculous. But yeah, all the hidden weirdness in there.
Yeah, find it, because Toontown is so interactive, and that was the design they wanted it to be. There are things that'll set off special effects or sound effects all over. And it's always been my goal to find every single one.
The drinking fountains talk to you.
That, or you step on a manhole cover and somebody from below speaks. Those are things I love.
Which, if you're a chronic insomniac and sleep deprived, can get really weird. Because you have that split second of, did that just happen? Or am I having one of my moments? Okay, which is it? We don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so we've been talking about the park and the Easter eggs. But for people going to the park, there are people that will really get into making an experience of it beyond just, okay, we're in the park. Now, you just experienced a really formalized version of that with Bat's Day.
Yes.
So various groups will have unofficial gatherings at Disneyland. Bat's Day is one. Back when Dr. Steele was active as a performer, and he had his fan base, the Toy Soldiers. On his birthday, they would have a Dr. Steele Day, and it was held at Disneyland because he claimed Disneyland was the greatest expression of his philosophy.
Well, sure, I can see that. One of the things that fascinates me about Bat's Day is that it is a goth event. It is the Bat's Day at the Fun Park. And how much it has grown, because it started as, you know, just this small get-together of local goth friends in, like, 99, and it has just kept growing to where I think this year for the photo at the castle, because on the actual day of Bat's Day, when all the goths are roaming through the park, we have a meetup of we're meeting in front of Cinderella's castle and getting a group photo, I think there were over 1,000 people there. And it's now spun off to where they have the Baby Bat's photo at a specific time at the carousel in Fantasyland, and they have the Haunted Mansion photos where if you have the Bat's Day lanyard, you get with your group to sit on the front steps of the Haunted Mansion, and then they take a photo, and then they let you into the ride.
Because even though it's an unofficial event, Disneyland has very much bought into this.
Yes, it's an unofficial event. As far as I understand, there are no official social events like this at Disneyland, but Disney management is very good about working with various groups who say, okay, you know, we're bringing 1,000 goths to the park on this weekend. So for Bat's Day, because Disney management knows about it and they want to be friendly to the social groups, for Bat's Day, they had Mickey Mouse Batwing cookies.
Yeah, I saw your pictures of those.
And they had these amazing cupcakes covered in black and purple frosting with little chocolate bat wings on them. And every cast member I saw that weekend was like, oh, are you going to be here for Bat's Day? I hope you have a nice Bat's Day. It was great.
Yeah.
And I know they do that for Red T-Shirt Day, which is Gay Weekend.
Okay.
And I know there are a couple other social clubs that do this sort of thing, too. And also in Disneyland, they have Grad Night, which is something a bunch of the schools do, where it's a case of they keep the park open later and specific schools kind of rent it out. And the graduating class from that school goes and roams around Disneyland.
I one of these days I want to go to an event like that. At some point in the future, I might actually want to go to Bat's Day with you.
Gosh, oh no, twist my arm.
Now, another thing that kind of going on with this, so there's a thing that's become well known at Disney, and if you've been the last few years, you see it, of children running around the park in costumes.
Yes.
And especially since Disney started promoting the Disney princesses as a line, there's actually a shop in Fantasyland called the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique that does princess makeovers for the girls, where they'll get their hair done, their makeup done, and they get the dress.
It is such a genius idea. It is such a genius idea, because it is one of those enhancements of the Disney experience. It lets the little girls go and be treated like a princess, get made over in a kid-appropriate way into their favorite princess. They've got the dress, they've got the fancy things in their hair, they're spackled with glitter, and it's just, I have seen girls waiting in line at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. I have actually gone in there to look for merchandise, and it's adorable. It is so cute.
Because there's, like, what, five makeover seats?
Yeah, there's, like, five or six different beauty salon chairs. Yeah. And
they're always busy.
They're always busy and watching the girls get their hair pulled up into fancy ponytails, then tinsel and sparkly pink or blue hair extensions added to it. It's just, and you can always see the little girls who've gone through this and are running around the park in their princess dresses and with their wands or their scepters, and they're so happy. I mean, happier than the other kids of Disneyland, which is a feat. It is amazing.
Now, on that line, you recently discovered something that you were showing me before we started about people...
Disneybound.
Yeah.
So it's a Tumblr blog. So it's disneybound.tumblr.com. And it takes the idea of fashion blogging, of, you know, people putting together outfits for specific looks or specific themes, taking a Disney spin to it. So if someone wanted to put together an outfit that evoked the characters of Peter Pan, but they weren't in costume, so there would be someone wearing, like, a green shirt and green pants and maybe a green fedora, or someone in a yellow sundress with a yellow bow in their hair, or blue sundress and blue bow, or a stripy shirt and a red hat for Smee. And it's really fascinating, because looking at the Tumblr, you can see the different outfits that are being put together to evoke certain characters. Some of the Star Wars ones are great, especially since you can now get, like, spandex mini dresses with R2-D2's actual configuration printed on them, so you can just wear R2-D2. But it's a really clever idea to let adults who don't necessarily dress eccentrically, like some of the rest of us, to experience being a Disney character and have some of that magic in their lives without being in costume. Because also the Disney parks tend to frown on adults coming to the park in costume, because they don't ever want there to be any confusion between cast members and attendees.
Yeah.
But people doing the Disneybound stuff, you have to know what you're looking for. And just because I had heard of the Disneybound blog and had looked at it a little bit before I went to Bat's Day, when I was in line at Haunted Mansion, I saw a couple people and I'm like, wait a minute. And then I was like, are you guys Disneybounding? Are you doing Peter Pan? And they're like, oh my God, yes. How cool, you figured it out. And I'm like, no, that's great. Tell me more about this. And it was just a really neat thing.
Yeah. One thing, because we're getting close to where we need to think about wrapping up. This will be, who knew, you and I got together and we start, and talking Disney, we can go for, we told a friend recently that we, each of us could talk hours.
Yes.
About the park.
Yes.
It's that bad. But one thing I just want to point out, if you are planning a trip to Disneyland, there's some great ways to do it. Disneyland is one of the most customer-focused companies and experiences I've ever had. I went there once with a friend who has celiac, where they can't eat gluten, and we went to one of the restaurants. They actually had the cook come from out in back to discuss with her what they could do to accommodate her needs. It's the only place I know where they keep separate fryers.
Yes, we had that. I had that same experience on this trip, because one of my friends can't eat gluten, and we went to Storyteller's Cafe in Grand California. And she told her waiter, she said, you know, here are the list of things I can't eat. And so the waiter went and got the cook. Cook came out. They talked about some stuff, and she had a fabulous meal.
Yeah, it's that level of attention that it yes. helps. That if you're here to have this fun experience, the fact that the cast are totally dedicated to supporting that.
Yes.
Is amazing. One thing I noticed on my honeymoon trip is when we got there and they said, well, why are you here? Well, we're here on our honeymoon. Oh, you're here on your honeymoon. Well, hang on just a second. They have at the hotels
the buttons,
packets, or you can get a Main Street if you're not staying on site. And they have different buttons for different occasions.
Yes.
So when we were there, it said just married. And this was a signal to the cast members of what your special event is and maybe do something extra special for you or at least congratulate you in our case.
Yes.
And because I was hyper aware of it, wearing one, they, and I loved it, ours, the just married buttons have Cinderella.
Yes.
And her prince. But there are buttons that say things like birthday.
Birthday, first visit, wedding anniversary.
Family reunion.
Family reunion. One of the times I went there, it was close enough to my birthday that my friend took me to town hall and got me the button for my birthday. And so the cast members will wish you a happy birthday. And since I am now aware of that, if I see someone with a button, I will say something to them. There were a lot of little kids with happy birthday buttons. And I was like, oh, and happy birthday. And they would give me this look of, hello, strange gothy lady, thank you. But it was really sweet.
Yeah. So as promised, as we're getting near the end
of this embarrassing
episode,
family story time.
Embarrassing story time. So as we mentioned earlier, we've taken one trip together. And, well, okay, let's be honest. We're siblings. This does lead to certain behaviors with each other that...
You are mean.
So one of Jill's quirks is she hates roller coasters.
I am not a roller coaster person.
She hates them, and I don't know how I got away with this. The other people on our trip were kind of tired and want to sit down. And I said, hey, well, while they're resting, you want to go on a ride? She went, okay, what ride? And I went, Space Mountain. Well, and what is Space Mountain again? It's a space shuttle ride.
I figured out how you pulled that off, actually.
Okay.
Because this was the day we went into the park where I had not slept at all the night before.
Is it with the night you had insomnia?
Yeah, it was the night I had insomnia. So I was not entirely alert.
So what you're saying is I was taking advantage of your weakened state.
Yes.
So we, and I'm just waiting for her to notice. We get up there, nothing. We get into the queue, nothing. We get on to the ride, nothing. She did not notice that it was a roller coaster until we started going up. And she's like, why are we going up? Well, Jill, this is a roller coaster. And her exact words were,
I hate you. I hate you so much. And then I didn't stop screaming.
Nope.
I don't think I made any words at that point.
Well, you also said one off. And I said, you can't. That's when the I hate you.
Right.
We get off the ride and she is so visibly shaken that Pete's like, my little goth, what did your horrible brother do to you?
And then he took me for ice cream.
And took you to the Haunted Mansion.
But as an addendum to that story, one of the trips that I went a couple years ago, I went in 2009 before the book launch. And I went with a friend of mine who is, if possible, a bigger Disney geek than both of us.
That's an effort.
And he used to work for Imagineering, so he has done work at the park. So he was one of the people who helped do the refurbishment of Space Mountain. So he actually talked me into going onto it again. Against my better judgment, because I'm like, no, I know how this ends. This is a roller coaster. But because he has been on that ride in excess of 1,000 times... I spent the entire ride with my eyes closed and Drew saying, okay, now we turn left, up, down, down, up, up, left, right, right, left. So I had a running narration of what was going to happen.
Or it was the Konami code, one of the two.
It didn't make me feel really any better, and I don't think I'm ever going on it again.
And
I can avoid it.
And I noticed this time when I was texting you going, you have to go on Tower of Terror for family honor.
No, you and Dad like Tower of Terror. I am not really thrilled with the idea of the ground dropping out beneath me.
That's so much fun. I love the weightless feeling.
I will eventually go, because I have been told I need to go through and see all the queue theming. I need to see how they have decorated the walkthrough area.
And that's really what I wanted you to see.
Well, the next time I go to Disneyland, I may actually completely lose my mind and actually stay on the ride and not just duck out at the last exit.
Fair enough, although there is one other story I think we need to share. Because let's embarrass Pete. Well, it's not really embarrassing for
Pete. It's not embarrassing for Pete, but...
So, during our same trip, on a previous trip, I had been told by a friend of ours that we had to go on It's a Small World. And when I asked why, she told me because afterwards you'll be absolved of all your sins.
Which is not a bad theory.
Yeah. So I said the exact same thing. Jill, for some reason, believed me, but went along.
I am your younger sister, I am trusting, or something.
Another friend of ours mocked me, the friend of ours, Rias, who was with us.
Yes.
Just went, you're full of it. And Pete went, you're exaggerating. So we get on the ride, and again, Small World is this amazing Art Deco exterior, which reminded us of an artist friend of ours' work, because we all worked at Wizards of the Coast at the time. So we get on the ride, and Jill has already found her internal happy place, which I assume is she's pretending she's just on Haunted Mansion and seeing the ghosts.
Yes.
Rias breaks almost immediately.
Yeah.
But Pete's like, it's not that bad. You were, I'm going to do my Pete impersonation. It's not that bad. I don't know what you're on about.
His accent sounds nothing like that.
I know.
That.
It's my bad Pete impersonation. But we're going through, and after like the third or fourth room, he's like, you were making this up as this big thing. It wasn't that bad. Oh, we're in another room. Really, I think it'd be over by now. And he said that two more times. And then he was like, excuse me, does this ride ever bloody end?
No, you were doomed to it for eternity.
By the end, he's like, oh, for the love of, why did you do this to me? How? And we opens up, we see daylight. He's like, oh, thank God. It's all, you bastard. And I'm like, I warned you. And Pete's, not hard enough. To this day, if Small World is brought up and Pete and I are in the same room, he will turn to me, point accusingly, and go, you.
I'll have you know, I haven't been on that ride since. Every trip to Disneyland since, I have not set foot on that ride. I just won't. I have no need to go on it again. I have not been that bad to go need to have my sins resolved. Thank you.
So with that, let's go ahead and bring this episode to a close. For those of you listening, if you have your own memories of Disneyland, why don't you drop us a line in the comment section on the site at fanboynewsnetwork.com. If you want to reach me directly, my email is caliban@fanboynewsnetwork.com. And Jill, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they do this?
They can go to the website, gothiccharmschool.com, and there is a correspondence link, which will take you to a handy email form to contact me. Or you can find me on Tumblr at gothiccharmschool.com.
All right, so with that, thank you very much for taking time to talk with me.
I want to go back to Disneyland.
I wanted to go back too.
Take me to Disneyland.
We'll figure this out. And for the rest of you, thank you for listening. You all take care. This program is produced by Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network and is copyright 2014 to Jeff Harris and Fanboy News Network. All rights are reserved, including rights to copy and redistribute this program. All music in this podcast comes from The Footage Firm and is used under a royalty-free license.